Don't do that, because one time I was interviewing my grandpa, and when I said, can I record it? And he said, sure. And that's when he started telling dirty jokes. I had to go turn in my paper of interviewing someone from World War II. It was nothing but
dirty jokes.
Jokes about Eleanor Roosevelt. You know, grandpa.
It's great.
The problem you have when you don't know where the enemy is, somebody's got to give you clearance. Very seldom did we ever have the opportunity and we were free to engage anything we found. There's sometimes we did, and that is really fun whenever you find a truck that's parked under a tree, or you find some boats up there in North Vietnam parked out in the waterway, and you get to use that 20 millimeter cannon on there, and you can just see those tracers going down there. And because you don't get to see a lot of it, because you're gone normally by the time all that happens. So up there we were high enough that we had a 2,500 foot minimum at the bottom of it. And so you're still way up there. But we started high enough that you just floated those, and was using those 20 millimeters.
So how do you sight that when you go on a, would you call that a strafing run?
Yeah, that's strafing. You got a pipper. It's a sight.
Okay.
And you set it for your bombing, and you have different settings for your bombings. To release a bomb, you've got to have an airspeed, an altitude, and a dive angle.
Right.
And all that's supposed to come together, and then you've got to compute what the wind is doing. And you don't have a clue that he may have put a white phosphorus Willie Pete marker down there, and you can see what it's doing. But if you're number two, you go see where his bomb hit, and he's supposed to have the same settings that you have. So you'll make your adjustment off of him. And so that helps you a lot to see what one of them did if you're all using the same settings. But just talking about that sight, pulling G's, it'll get way down here. It's kind of like gets down between your legs.
Yeah.
And a lot of the munitions are G limited. It's, you know, your sidewinders and your aim missiles. They are all G limited.
Meaning you can't be pulling so many G's when you release the missile.
Just talking about the G's, you know, you're normally not supposed to use over four or five, something like that, but eight's a lot better than four if you need them.
If you want to get away, yeah, it makes sense to me. So this 20 millimeter cannon, that's 20 millimeter diameter and a big old shell, I guess, and just a nice explosion when it hits?
It's got high explosive.
Yeah.
They're about that big around. Yeah, well, they're 20 millimeters around.
And do you go down, are those coming out pretty rapidly, or is it more thump, 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 or do you...
The M61, the Gatling gun, 1,000 rounds a minute. Normally, we just carried 100 bullets.
No kidding.
Yeah, for training.
We were talking about that the other day, we were watching a World War II movie, and it seems like the fighter pilots never ran out of bullets. And then we thought, well, no, because, you know, if you're shooting, I guess a Gatling gun, is that 50 caliber, the Gatling gun?
There is a 50 calibers before they came up with 20 millimeters.
Okay. But how much, I mean, if you've got 1,000 rounds, how much actual firing time is that? I mean, that's like
a few seconds. Now, on the gunnery range, you want to shoot the minimum number of bullets so that you get the maximum number of approaches, the practice. And every time, these things start with electrical motor that spins them, and you throw 6 rounds overboard that you didn't shoot. So if you made 5 rounds, then you've lost 30 bullets that didn't get through the target. And so as fast as you can pull the trigger and release it,
okay,
you'll get up to about 5 or 10 rounds off. It's just pow. But now, when we're shooting those boats up there, I started way up there, and we carried, think it's 1,000 rounds. It's 6,000 rounds a minute is what the thing wow. shoots.
It's crazy.
And it goes whoop.
Yeah.
You thought that Mitchell's probably heard them out there, and you'd think somebody's blowing a horn. Hmm. And that's just one of them. And the F-4, you'd carry three of them, and then the firepower demonstrations would use three. It'll slow your airplane down.
I was wondering, do you sort of...
Yeah, it
like that.
With three of them under there.
Yeah.
One of them, you just hear it. But then the problem with that, you're kicking all these, the shells are what, about 7 or 8 inches long?
Right.
And they're 20 millimeters. And we had them came right across the stand because the wind was really blowing in a demonstration in the practice. And they whistle when they come down. And can you imagine they're shooting three of those things, and all those rounds went right across the stands.
They must have been kind of hot too, right? I mean, big hot pieces of concrete.
Cooled off.
Oh, by the time they
down there, but that'd have killed whoever they hit.
Yeah, that's a lot of metal.
And so anyway, when we put on the demonstration, the wind was blowing the other way.
Ah.
And that's another story.
I guess that's something you can't worry about in combat. You think about that sometimes.
Yeah, it is. That's really important.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Just relative to your other guys, you mean?
You know, if you're here and the enemy's here, how am I going to get to the enemy? I got to make sure I don't put the bullets on top of you and put the bullets on the enemy.
Sure.
So you're running parallel normally. But you do have to be aware of the residue you're leaving behind.
Can you afford to think about that in a dogfight? I mean, I get that you're hitting the bad guys and not your allies, right? But as
well,
far
that's
as
just in the close air support.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one time I went out and our guys is on top of the mountain. Next day I went out, had the same target, and guess what? The bad guys on top of the mountain.
Oh yeah.
And they have fins that come out on, we use 500-pound bombs, the high drags. They got four big old fins. They're about that long and about that wide. They pop out, and it slows down so you can get away from them and not blow you up.
Oh, yeah.
The only problem with this, I took these down real close to the top of the mountain because you got all these bamboo poles up there and the trenches and all that, and went by there, and the bomb didn't hit the ground. It went through those bamboo poles, knocked the fins off, and it didn't go off.
Oh, wow.
And next thing you know, when I'm pulling off about a mile and a half or 2 miles down there in the valley, guess what?
Boom! Boom! There it went. Okay, so we know it wasn't a dud. Good thing.
Yeah, it wasn't a dud. And we're on a operational readiness inspection over in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And we were flying out of Hahn, Germany. And we're going up, and this is one of our nuclear practice runs to be graded on. And you come in at, well, first of all, we was at altitude for a while. Over there, things get wet. What do you think happens to your parachute if it had some water on it?
Ah, right.
A chunk of ice out here, you know, bigger than a can.
Gosh.
Anyway, what you do, we come in here at 100 feet. We're doing 600 knots. And when you get to the proper point, you pull up to about a 45-degree angle, but you've got a machine in there showing you, and you just like, you bring it up and get all your cursors lined up, and here you're going, and when it comes time to release that thing, it does it automatically. But when mine went thump, I rolled over inverted because I was supposed to pull it back down and get back down to 100 feet again. Guess what's on my canopy? 2,800 pounds of concrete. And it's about right there. And it is longer than my canopy because it's going the same speed I am.
So you go down and then you pull up and that drops the bomb?
Well, now this is a nuclear delivery.
Right.
And you got to get away from them. So what you do, they got parachutes on them and you throw them way out there.
Oh, so you do this and the bomb,
the parachute comes out and it hits wherever it's programmed to go, hopefully.
And then you go inverted.
Inverted, and you're pulling over 4 G's to pull it back down because you don't want to get shot down up there. But anyway, you're flying formation with this guy up there, and so you pull some negative G's to get some clearance on it. And that thing went, I think, is 27 miles at that angle,
really?
That velocity. It went out into the North China Sea up there.
I wouldn't think it would go that far, but you're talking about a whole lot of weight with a whole lot of momentum.
Ton and a half.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And you're just throwing it basically.
600 knots.
It's like an outlaw, you know, just.
Can you imagine the damage just that concrete if it hit something?
Oh my gosh.
Without blowing up. So.
Surprised it didn't blow up in some valley in Vietnam. They're like, Fincher again?
Well, after we shot our rockets up there in Oklahoma at their 100th celebration, my wingman was our safe flying safety officer. And as soon as we got off of the show frequency, sir, when I jettisoned my rockets, they fired. With those, we carried 19 of those 2.75 folding fin rockets in each pod.
Okay.
And we got 10 pods. And so that's a bunch of rockets. But anyway, they've got a nose cone on them that the rockets go through. And if that nose cone gets broken, it's just like having that much drag. In fact, with those 10 pods we had on there, you didn't have enough gas to get home.
No kidding.
So anyway, that's why we jettisoned. Soon we got through to deliver them, we dropped down, get out of sight so they couldn't see us, and went around this hill, and whenever we jettisoned, we was going straight and level. And I jettisoned mine, but he had 3 rockets that fired.
Oh, well, so you meant to jettison, just drop them.
Yeah, if you got to drop the whole pod.
Because you've got all that weight, you don't want to try to carry home.
It's not the weight, it's the air drag.
It's the drag. Okay, yeah. So get rid of that. But they're not supposed to fire. They're just supposed to, I understand.
If he had all this, we don't know why they fired. They're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there was just... What happened? They hit the top of a mountain. They set fire to it. They bounced over to another one, and they went through a roadside park that had a bunch of leaves down there, and went right by a car that was there. And next thing you know,
why are you late?
And I go down. I think we've killed somebody.
Yeah, I bet.
And so I go down there, and the first time I looked in the front seat, there wasn't anybody in the front seat of the car.
Uh-oh.
Next time I went around, I looked in the back seat. If the rockets didn't scare them, they got to see an F-4 up close and personal.
Oops.
If they'd been in the car, they wouldn't have never forgot it, I guarantee you.
Oh, my gosh.
And
no one would believe it either.
Anyway,
no. Why are you late?
We got back. Right. They says, you got to call the Pentagon.
Well, this must be good news, right?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I didn't do
this
it.
This is the command post. It says, you're burning up a town. I says, you got the wrong number.
Now, that's quick thinking. You're right. It's not me.
I didn't do it.
Yeah. Anyway, the phone rang again.
Uh-oh.
Are you so-and-so? And I said, yes. You're burning the town down. what happened, the wind was 45 miles an hour that day. They couldn't fly helicopters because the wind was too strong. Mm. And it set fire to all that park. Uh-oh. And, man, they had 800 people out there fighting the fire and a whole bunch of equipment. And God's looked after us a long time. It burned right up to the top of the hill that went down into that town.
Oh, my goodness.
It did not get off the reservation. So it was a non-reportable incident.
Yeah. Yeah, technically.
And old Herb showed up about the time all this was going on, and I've got the command post at the Pentagon. And so, anyway, life can get pretty exciting.
Yeah. And if it does, just tell them it's got the wrong number.
Yeah. Wrong number. He's not,
not
here.
I'm not taking any calls today.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, hello, yeah, no, I'm not burning down the town, if that's why you're calling, definitely not. Yeah. So these rockets, these were an air-to-ground munition, right?
These were anti-personnel.
Oh, I see.
They've got flechettes in there, like little arrows with sharp points on them. Hmm. Look kind of like nails. Anyway, they go off before they get there. So, they
have like a ground proximity fuse or something? Uh-huh. Wow, what a weapon.
And it does personnel.
Do you, and you've got, you just point it, right? You point the plane where you want the rocket to go, yeah. Use your pip.
But you got to arrive at the point out here where all that stuff comes together.
Right.
That's where the skill comes in.
Wait, say that again. You got to say that.
You got to arrive at a point out here that if I have this setting, and this airspeed, and this altitude, and this G loading, then I can hit where that button is down there.
Mm-hmm.
But if any of those things are not in that parameter, then they go. Those rockets, when you launch them, man, you just wonder where they're going, because they go around and around. You hope, boy, none of them run together. And y'all do it at night.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you talking about the sparklers at night?
Something. But yeah, they had no guidance system at all. They just, yeah, you think you want them to go straight.
You point them with the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And you pull the trigger with your little pinky finger.
Mm-hmm.
And bombs you drop with your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And the gun you operate with the trigger.
Did you, was that an F-4 when that man, when your colleague jettisoned the...
we were putting on...
And an F-4 could carry 190 rockets? I must have misunderstood you. That many?
Yeah, there's 19 in a pod, and we was carrying 10 of them.
Wow. I had no... Did you know that much? I just thought maybe half a dozen or something. I don't know.
We've got a big picture of me or my wingman. One of us, you can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
And you ought to see the fire coming out of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're not supposed to shoot them all at one time.
But boy, wouldn't you.
But for a demonstration,
you're not supposed
to. But at one pass. See,
yeah.
And we're going to show them the firepower, and we're shooting a bunch of cars out there in front. Where we hit them or not, I don't have a clue, because that was not the highest priority when I got back.
Right. You had a phone call.
I had a phone call.
That's got to be the fun. It's like today's demonstration of Power Day. Go shoot all your rockets at once at a line of cars or something. Mm-hmm. And they're paying you for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, there's the other part, too, when you lose an engine over the valley. And,
so. There's a trade-off, I think.
Y'all don't see the T-38s, but they're stationed up at Wichita, and they're training the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, down at Randolph, we got the first ones that came off of the 79. Back in 63.
Now the T-38 is a little twin-engine trainer jets, right?
Everybody ought to have one.
They look like fun.
They are really fun.
Yeah.
They but they are really, it's like a BMW.
Yeah.
And everybody ought to have one.
You know, we used to see them around Austin. This was some years ago, I guess probably the 1980s, because they were training. What we'd see flying out of Bergstrom, which is the airport now, is I'd see those T-38s, and I'd see F-4s.
Yeah.
And this would have been...
They were RF-4s.
Okay.
And I didn't fly that one. I flew the RF-101. which was the one before the F4.
So what is an RF4? How is that different from just, say, an F4?
It's all reconnaissance.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, I guess that's who was stationed there. Yeah. Yeah, we'd see those, and then the T-38s every once in a while.
So. The T-38s, the astronauts and the B-1B pilots fly them just to keep their proficiency up, because it's a lot cheaper to fly them. It is. You know how big the engines are on that T-38?
No idea.
I like that. They're little bitty.
No kidding.
I think two of us could carry one.
But the plane's real light, right? So you can.
It's not. Yeah, it's light. And the wings are just that thick. You know, when they put the wings, the wheels up in the wings, that's, they got to design the wheel to fit in this skinny wing.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're beautiful planes. And
oh, they're fun to fly.
Yeah.
My first ride in there, I was in the back seat. I was getting checked out as an instructor, and I'm under the hood.
Are you lemonade?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you. And we're making a low approach is our first approach.
Thank you, my dear.
But you say you're under the hood. Are you literally under a hood? So
yeah.
You're training?
Can't see out.
So you're just using the instruments to fly?
That's how you get your instrument training.
Yeah.
And one peak is worth 1,000 cross checks. Boy. And anyway, we came down there and I'm doing okay.
Would you like a little more?
And, yes, please. Thank you.
Excuse me.
I've
got it, sweetheart.
And we came down to the minimums, and so I pushed the power up for us to make our low approach. One set of gauges is going this way, the other set of gauges is going that way. And I told the guy, I says, hey, something happened to our engine.
Yeah.
And so I was making the go around with one engine, and he decided that it was. He didn't have a whole lot more time in there playing than I did. But anyway.
So that's when your engine goes out on a low pass when you're under the hood?
You know what happened? The shaft broke to the fuel pump.
I guess I'd do it. Jeez.
That's better than catching fire or something.
Yeah, but it's also good that you notice.
Oh, you will notice,
right? Did they get a warning alarm or something like that? I mean,
well, not as quick as the motor just quit. Well, in that case, it just quit, like you shut it down.
Wow.
And I never did hear of any other problem that they had with it. And normally, a new airplane, they have quite a few problems.
Mm-hmm. I'm amazed at how long some of these planes have been flying.
Yeah.
And you see, oh, this was actually designed. I think I was reading about the P-38, and it was actually designed in like 1933 or something like that. Maybe a little bit later, but, you know, or the B-52s are still flying. They designed that when? 1950?
They've been up a long time.
Just amazing.
He's got a great uncle. My mother's
Second cousin
was J.T. Robbins. He shot down 22 enemy aircraft. He's the number 7 ace of all time.
J.T. Robbins, this is in World War II?
Yeah.
And he was in the European theater?
And the Pacific.
No kidding.
And he flew P-38s.
Wow.
And he was the commander of the 12th Air Force. Back when I was still in the Air Force, he was down at Bergstrom, and that's where the 12th Air Force is.
It always makes me happy when someone with, died in the wool combat experience becomes the leader.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, some other people.
The Air Force said that we want everybody to get some combat experience before anybody has to go back the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in reconnaissance, which I was in over in Europe, to fly the airplane, you had to have 2,500 hours of jet time because it had a design deficiency. The T-tail that sits way up here, They didn't know when they designed it, when you get it at over 19 degrees of angle of attack, that the downwash gets on top of your horizontal stabilizer. And I was picking up a new T-33 out at Lockheed, and they had a bulletin board with a picture up there. And you know what a 104 is?
Yes, sir.
It's got the T-tail. They had a picture of this thing. The nose was folded under, and the tail was over. The tail was under, and the nose was back on the other side, on the top. And the guy's floating down in his parachute, and he says, "It looked more like a snap loop to me rather than a pinch-up."
Warning.
And what happens when that downwash gets on top, it just, no matter how fast you're going, it just instantly pitches up.
Because you have no lift on the stabilizer.
You're going backwards.
Okay.
And anyway, below 15,000 feet, our instructions were to jump out.
No kidding, because you're not going to recover. This is what's amazing to me, Cindy. If you think, you know, the Wright brothers first flew in 1903.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one or two generations later, you think something. And the way they would find these out are these test pilots who go, okay, well, we've got the air coming off the wing and it messes up the stabilizer and back. So what if we put the stabilizer up top? Okay, well, let's go. Someone goes out and flies that to see what happened.
They killed nearly everybody in the first bunch.
Yeah.
And that's why when I went into the 101, you had to have 2,500 hours of jet time.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Because they killed all the young guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just, they're just on the edge all the time. And I remember you telling me, and I may, oh, thanks, Mitch. Oh,
thanks, Mitch. Oh, that's good. Thank you so much.
Do you think we all have such a Nuiya?
Not my party. I'm happy listening to anybody.
Is it Sacagawea time?
Thank you, sir.
Is it showtime?
Oh, mosquito. Mosquito.
Uh-oh.
Do you see him?
Yeah.
They're sneaky. They get in.
Okay.
This one's huge.
He's right there.
Oh, one guy. The white whale.
Here he is.
The great white mosquito.
Okay.
That's right. I don't see him.
So on an airplane, the rudder makes you go left and right, mm-hmm. and the ailerons make you do that. Mm-hmm. So Buddy was telling me the F4s at a certain speed,
mm-hmm.
if you use the ailerons, it would just put the plane in a spin.
Wow.
Well, it just goes the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah, it works.
Oh, really?
So you're flying like hell because you're in combat, and so that you expect to do that. But because of the aerodynamics, if you do that, you go the other
is
way.
That him?
Yeah. And so when they were in combat, he was saying that your pedals do the rudder, that
you don't move the stick other than forward and back.
But if you think about how people found that out.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of lives lost.
Yeah, so just amazing guys. And to keep that kind of nerve. See, I always thought Mitch should be a fighter pilot because he's eerily calm. Like, your dad, it's not a crisis. Nobody's shooting yet.
Yeah. Well, his brother was going to be a pilot.
Oh, yeah?
And he was making A and B's in civil engineering. He didn't pass his Air Force physical.
Wow.
His vision, right?
The psoriasis.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm not. Michael's going to be a pilot?
Psoriasis?
Yeah. I don't know, but anyway, he didn't pass the physical.
Huh.
May have been some eyesight, but I think the main thing then was the psoriasis.
Okay. Well,
but anyway, things went to hell in a handbasket. He joined a fraternity, and his grades went down. He was president of the fraternity his last tour of duty at Tech.